Okay, good morning everyone.
Good morning.
So today I want to take a look at the Ten Commandments, but more than just that, I want to approach the commandments from the perspective of the Proverbs. So the Ten Commandments, it's a great set of rules for us and our lives, and if we live according to it, well, generally for the better, and it's something we want to obey. So the commandments, they were given to the nation of Israel as they were wandering through the wilderness, and it was given to them as a tool to hold the nation together and outline some basic common sense principles so that they could better function as a nation and also as individuals. But there's more to the commandments than just being a set of rules, isn't there? So they're rules with a reason. So a child is often given a lot of do not rules to follow. And often a child does not want to follow these rules because they don't know why. I know I was like that as a kid. So it's not until we can see the consequences of our actions, and sometimes it's not until much later, that we come to understand the reason for the rule. So most of the Ten Commandments are these do nots. But what about the opposite to the Ten Commandments? So when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And we read that in Mark 12 earlier. And he doesn't mention any do nots, does he? But instead, he talked about the do's. I'll just read it here. Jesus said, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Do love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, do love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, I've added the do's in there, but the idea is, with that in mind, we're going to take some guidance from the Proverbs for some of the do's and tie that into the Ten Commandments. So it is a good opening. Going to have a look at Proverbs 2 here. I'm going to be flicking sort of through the Proverbs a bit, so feel free to just listen in, or you can try and keep up. So here we are. Proverbs 2, starting at verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So the first of our Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 is, you are to have no other gods but me. So for this, I'm going to take a look at Proverbs 1, starting at verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street she cries out, at the entrance of the city gate she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refuse to listen. I have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. So we can see here, if we have other gods, maybe hobbies, money, or different primary focus in our lives, then we're not able to hear our Creator's call, are we? And that's a call that He wants us to hear. So we're here today because of that call. So the do point here is that to serve our God, and in that service, we come to more fully know and understand God's righteousness and His plan and purpose for the earth. And unless He's our only God, we're unable to do that. So the do, to serve. Our second commandment here, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. So this one's a little bit trickier to tie into the Proverbs, but there's an underlying message that I think we can see in Proverbs 8. And I'm going to be reading from verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me, and filling their treasuries. So God, he wants us to love and serve him, rather than some imitation of him. So from this proverb, he's a living God with a message of salvation for us. So I think our boo message here is to spread that knowledge of our God and his plan that will be fulfilled in Jesus. So our third commandment is this: you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For this one, I'm going to turn to Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. And we read, "Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be filled and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." So in this one here, it's our actions that profane God's name, isn't it? It's not just a spoken word. And it's through our actions that others interact with us. So I think this commandment was given so that we always remember that we are messengers of God's word. And it's a wonderful message, isn't it, to spread. But while spreading this message, we need to take care that we do not discredit our God with our actions, but rather we do set a good example to those around us so that they can see how important our God is to us. A fourth commandment here from Exodus 20, and that is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So this commandment, it's a do commandment, unlike some of the others. And it has its own explanation in Exodus 20. So I'll just keep reading on. "For in six days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day." So we can see that the rest day, it's a reflection on what God has done for us. And in a way, we can acknowledge him every 7 days, can't we? So Proverbs 9, verses 10 and 11. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life." God has given us life, and he's let us know of his plan for the earth. And in the grand scheme of things, taking time out of our lives to especially serve our God is such a small token of just gratitude for what he has done to us or for us. So the do point here, I think, is to simply remember our God and to have time for him. Easier said than done, I know, but it's a do point. So our fifth commandment here: honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. I need to be careful what I say here. So, but this is another do commandment, isn't it? So if we read in Proverbs 1 again, verses 8 and 9. "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful ornament for your head and pendants for your neck." The teaching we receive from our parents, or those that raise us, is typically a valuable tool for good or bad. And we build on it and we form our own character. So again, good or bad, we do learn from it. So the sixth commandment, also to do there, sorry, is to honour. It speaks for itself in Exodus. So the sixth commandment is this: you shall not murder. So again, from Proverbs 1, verses 11 and 12. "If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit.'" And again, going down to verse 17. "For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. they set an ambush for their own lives. And summary in verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. So from our believer's point of view, if we disregard others, we're setting a trap for ourselves, aren't we? So instead, our do point is to listen to God's instruction, and he will make his ways and his words known to us. The seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. For this, let's go to Proverbs 2 and verses 16 through 21. And that reads, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So that's the negative aspect of it, but let's keep reading. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. So I think the lesson here is that we can become trapped in a way of life and a desire that eclipses our God. And the more we follow that desire, the more it hurts us in the end and the harder it becomes. So I think the do lesson from this commandment is it's really just we always want to keep our focus on our Creator, of course. And in doing so, it can help to escape these traps that so easily ensnare us. The eighth commandment, you shall not steal. For this, I'm going to take a look at Proverbs 9 and verse 17 and 18. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. And again, a similar thing in Proverbs 14, verse 31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. And another one, Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. I think the do message here is that we should honor our Lord, of course, by being generous with what we have, our excess. Because some have much, some have little. But at the end of the day, our God, he's promised us so much more in the coming kingdom. The ninth commandment is that you shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. So, reading from Proverbs 12, verse 17 through to 20. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. So the do lesson here is pretty obvious, and that is to speak the truth, isn't it? And in doing so, we keep a true and honest relationship with our neighbours, those around us, and it will be a joy to us when we're interacting with them. And the last commandment in Exodus 20 is this. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbour's. For this, let's take a look at Proverbs 5 and verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your spring be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you, lest your fountain be blessed and rejoice. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. I think the instruction here is that if we're always looking at what others have, we can never be happy with what we have. So rather, God instructs us to really enjoy what we do have, while generous, of course, in giving our excess as we're able. Because at the end of the day, we're part of a greater promise. And if we focus too much on what we want now, what others have, then we're unable to look for what is to come. So the do lesson is to enjoy and rejoice the massive blessing of knowing that God has a plan for us. So, although brief, this sort of run through of the Ten Commandments, I think our take-home point today is to remember that there's so many instructions given to us in the Bible, some for specific situations, some for general life, but behind each instruction there is a reason, one that can help us to better live our lives in service to our God. So, as we now remember Jesus and his instruction to us in the book of Luke, we remember him in the bread and wine because he is an example we can always look to.